saying that much. I want to tell you today that you have a purpose for your life. You have a calling specifically, uniquely for your life. The devil will try to step in every way that he can, try to tell you that you've gone too far, that you've done too many things, that you've made too many mistakes. I'm here to tell you today that the devil is a liar. He's always been a liar.
Yes.
He'll always be a liar. He only comes to do three things, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the word of God says now that I've come that you have life. And not only do you have life, but I want you to have a life in abundance. I want you to have an abundant life. And so I've meditated on that. I've meditated on that all week. And I want to tell you something. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan. If you are in the middle of a valley right now and you say, God, I don't know if you've got anything because I've just done a lot of stuff, God. I want to tell you that he still has a plan. And it's important for you to realize just how valuable that you are. It's important that you realize and you understand the heart of God when it comes to you. Because look here, God's in it to win. God's in it for you to win. So I want to take you today to Esther chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to set the scene here. There was a king named Xerxes. And Xerxes had a queen. And her name was Queen Vashti. And she was gorgeous. She was beautiful. Okay? And Vashti, he liked to show her off. And so they got at a party one night, and King Xerxes said, come here, guys, tell my wife to come out. Tell the queen to come out. I want everybody to see how pretty that she is. Well, Vashti just said, you tell the king I ain't coming out. That's just like a woman. Whatever her husband says, we're going to do the opposite. So she said, no. I ain't going out there tonight. Well, guess what? She stopped being queen. Okay? So then they had what we would call in these day and ages a beauty contest. And they got a sweet, Jesus, God-filled Esther up in there. And Esther had favor from day one. The guy over the whole thing, he took a liking to Esther. And he paid attention to how Esther was coming along. It was like a year-long process. They had 6 months of getting themselves perfumed and ready to see the king, to see if he'd like them. And Esther had favor. Esther married King Xerxes. So that leads us to Esther chapter 4. Verse 1, and it says, when Mordecai learned, Mordecai was her cousin, and he raised her. And it says, when Mordecai learned of all that had been done, and he tore his clothes, and he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he went up out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly, but he went only as far as the king's gates, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning, and among the Jews was fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. See, there was a decree that went out, and they said, hey, the Jews will not bow. They will not bow to man. They will only bow to the Lord. So some wisecrack wanted to get rid of all the Jews because they would not bow down. I'm going to tell you, there's a day coming that every single knee is going to bow. Every person that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, see, it doesn't matter. They're still going to bow. Every single tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said that he is. So see, when we bow down to things in our lives, see, that ain't good. When we bow down to sin and all of those things, see, the word says, now look here, don't have any other gods before me. Don't bow down to this or that. You only bow to me. And the Jews knew that. Well, they wasn't going to bow. They were about ready to get themselves dead. So here they are. And Mordecai, he just said, you know what? We're going to have to fast and we're going to have to pray. And so that's what they were doing here. And when Esther's maid And eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai. She was in great distress, and she sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. And then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, and he assigned it to attend to her and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. And he also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and to plead with him for the people. And Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. And the only exception to this is for the king to extend the golden scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to the king. That's a lot of reading. I don't usually do that much reading all in one setting, but you need to understand what the point's going to be today. You have a purpose. God knew exactly the day and the age in which you needed to live. A great example of that is this right here. I don't do well when I get hot. God put me in a day and age where there's air conditioner. Praise the Lord. See, he knows. God also knows all about everything about our little quirk. And so here's Esther, and she's hearing this about the man that raised her. And see, the Jews, they were her people. She was a Jew. And it broke her heart that the man that raised her was broken. And she said, now look, I can't go to the king because I'm not allowed to. The only time I'm allowed to go to him is when he calls for me. He hadn't called for me in 30 days. And I may get in trouble. I may get killed if I go to him, but he ain't called me. God also knew not to put me in that day and age. That would not have worked for me. But it worked for Esther. Esther was sweet. That's supposed to be a joke. Are y'all awake? All right. Lighten up a little bit. Whatever's troubling you, we're going to pray it off of you before you go. Okay, so when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think, Esther, that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. He's saying, look, just because you up there with the king doesn't mean you're going to get out of this. These are your people. You're one of us. Don't sit up in that king's house thinking you're going to get by and you're going to be the only one that doesn't suffer, because you're still going to suffer. He says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. And I want to tell you something. God has called you today. He summoned you. He's called you by name. He set you apart. He said, that's my child. They're holy. They're set apart. I'm defending them. And it's amazing because there's so many people, so many believers, they know that God has told them to do something, and there's a hesitation. There's a hesitation. See, here's the point. Let's read it again. For if you remain silent at this time, see, what was Esther's place and purpose? To speak up. To speak up. God doesn't have a lot of people that'll just speak up for him. If you don't speak up, if you stay silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews, that will arise from another place. Let me tell you something. God's got something special and set apart that only you can do. Don't pass that buck on to somebody else and say, well, so-and-so, they're better at this than me, or somebody else will do that, Lord. No, I've messed up too much. No, you do what you were called to do. You be who you were called to be. You do the purpose that God put you here this time, this day, this age. You're not here by accident. You're not living in this life by accident. You're not even in these seats today by accident. You're not sitting on your couch today watching me by an accident, because, see, look here, you have something and it's called a destiny. You have something and it's called a plan, a calling. And heaven, and every angel in heaven knows it. Every demon in hell knows it. Every demon in hell will try to get you off where you feel unvaluable, where you feel like you can't do it, where you feel like you're not good enough to do it, where you feel like you're not equipped enough to do it. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. Let me tell you something. God will not call just people that are equipped. He's going to get out there, and he's going to find somebody that will just say, God, I'll do it. What would you have me to do? See, that person right there is valuable to God, because, see, God will equip whoever he wants to.
Amen.
Each of you have a calling. Each of you have a purpose. God wants you to be driving down the road in your purpose and say, God, what is this? Purpose. Purpose. Everything in this life wants to make you feel like you're not wanted. Like you done messed up too much. Let me tell you something. You may have done some stuff, but you pray to God. Only God only knows. Well, I don't want anybody else to find out about that stuff. But look here. None of this stuff matters. What matters is, let's get back around to really the truth. The truth is purpose. Can you walk in your purpose? Can you own it? Can you own it? I told Sophie a couple of weeks ago, she was up there, and I noticed I didn't hear Sophie singing. Look here, if you're going to do something, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I said, Sophie, every time you get behind that microphone, you own it. Because, see, you're not doing this for your mama. You're not doing this for pastor. You're not doing this up there to look cute. You're doing this for the glory of God. So when you get behind that microphone, sister, I want you to take it, and I want you to own it. I want you to sing like you're singing for American Idol. Because look here, American Idol don't got nothing on Jesus. See,
amen.
Everything that you are, God has intertwined purpose in your life. Everything in your life tries to tell you, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. The devil gets you looking around. Ooh, I can't do it. This, and this. I'd like to do it, Lord, but I can't. No, you can't. You can't. You can do it. And Mordecai was telling her, look, if you have the audacity to sit here and do nothing and be silent, just know this, Esther. The relief and the plan of God is going to come about. It'll come by somebody else. So you'll never be the same. You ever meet somebody and they're running from God?
Yep.
They're miserable. Why? Because look here. The heart is deceitful. And above all, who can really know it? There's so many things that we think, if I could just have this, if I could just go there, if I could just be that, I'd be happy. And the truth is, no, you wouldn't. I had my little boy. We were up at McDonald's this past week, and I said, I'm going to get y'all Happy Meal. I don't feel like cooking. I'm buying more Happy Meals now than ever. Supporting McDonald's because I love McDonald's. We're getting about our 10th Happy Meal of the week. It was just like Tuesday.
Yeah,
we have had several. Colton's a growing child, so I got to keep him in the Happy Meal business. So we rolled up there, and I said, now look, boys, I don't feel like getting the runaround. So what you're going to do is you're going to take them Happy Meals, and you're going to open them boxes. And what you're going to do is called verify. You're going to verify, boys, that there is one pack of French fries, one box of chicken nuggets, and a toy. Look
and
here. I don't care if they leave the whole thing out. Mama is not circling this drive because they left something out. You're going to be responsible, and you're going to look up in your own box. Well, Whole sin is used to instant gratification. He wants that box. He wants to chow down. He wants to go. So I don't trust him to look at his own box. He'll eat it before he do. I said to see if it's there. I don't trust that child when it comes to food. Food comes up and gets it with him. I got his box, and I was rummaging through it, and he said something, and when he said it, it just pierced me. He said, "Mama, can I just have my Happy Meal so I can be happy?"
Glory to God.
When he said that to me, I felt Jesus right up in there in that line. Yeah, you can feel Jesus anywhere. You're willing to feel Jesus at. So many people, they are postponing their calling, their purpose, their joy, their happiness. Well, when I can just get to this point in my life, then I can truly be happy. No, you won't. You see, then it'll be something else. If I can just get my old man to act right, then I'm going to be happy. If I can just get my wife to treat me like I think she should, then I'm going to be happy. When I can just get these bills paid and not have to work so hard, then I'm going to be happy. When I can do this and when I can do that, and let me tell you something. See, the heart is telling you that. It's telling you can be happy when. But let me tell you something. Happiness is fleeting, but joy is the thing that remains. Yes. You will not live in full joy if you are out of the calling of God for your life. It was the thing that you were made to do, the thing that you were destined to do. You can run from it. You can keep silent. You can brush it off on somebody else. You'll never be happy like that. You'll never have joy. You see, whatever you're supposed to do with your life, that purpose, when he knit you together in your mother's womb, he knit that inside of you. You knit it in there. It's in you. It'll never go away. Case in point, never substitute. Peace. That's a calling. I hate to tell you that. Every once in a while, I really feel wild. I'll go substitute. And by the end of the day, I'm going, "God, I'll pastor all day long. Just don't send me down there with them children. That is not my calling, Lord. So first of all, you don't want me in prison. You want to keep me out so I can just go to the prison and preach to them. But God, you don't want me up in there." Let me tell you something. I want to shake you this morning, and I want you to know that you're valuable. I want you to know that you're important. Same. Here's purpose. You see yourself doing it. So many people, they see themselves doing something, but when it comes down to doing it, there's no action to those thoughts. God's putting those thoughts in there. Time to act. And so it says here, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews, it will arise from another place. The king of your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." And what I want to tell you today is that for such a time as this, God made you to be right now. Everything that you've gone through has gotten you to where you're sitting in your seat right now. So you can play that game where you're going to be mad at God because of all the things that you've had to go through. But at the end of the day, I want to set the record straight for my boss. Look here, you wouldn't be sitting in that seat if it wasn't for his grace, if it wasn't for his mercy. So if you're mad at God in here this morning, I'm going to ask you to stop being mad at him, because he's worked some things out you have no idea about. He's worked things out that you can see every time where something was going to come at you and destroy you, and Daddy God got in front of him and wouldn't let him do it. See, look here, there's something that we don't even realize. Most of the miracles that happen in our life, we never even realize them, because, see, God never lets us get to that point where we're sitting there feeling like, "God, what's up?" I mean, God will stand in front of you and he'll take that brunt. Look here. When God steps to the side, he'll take you by the hand and he'll say, "Look here, I'm going to teach you how to take the brunt. I'm going to teach you how to get some grit. Don't be mad up in here at God. God has stepped in front of you so many times. If you could see how many times God has saved your life, your very life, from disaster. You could see how many times God saved your life from yourself. We are our own worst enemies. Can we all agree?
Amen.
Lord, I know I am. I've gotten myself into worse shenanigans than I think any living person possible. And he's helped me get out of every single thing. And he's helped me to learn. And he had a lot of grace there, and he had a lot of mercy. Brothers on the back of the room, we don't want to own up to what he got us out of. I'm just talking about you too. Sonny's going, oh, yeah.
Glory to God.
Look here, Sonny. You're still that sweet blonde-headed little boy. I would never think anything negative about you. I don't believe it for a second.
Glory to God.
That's like if somebody tells me something bad about my kids, I'm like, no, that's true, but I'm going to act dumb. I do that well. You were good. We're proud. So, here's Mordecai. He says, you know what? For such a time as this,
yes.
God destined you. Out of all those girls in that beauty contest, he picked you, Esther. God knew the problem before it was a problem. If you're in a problem right now, if you're in a valley right now, I'm going to tell you that God knows all about it. It will not keep you from your purpose. God won't let it. And then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. See, that was going to go one of two ways. Esther can either make an excuse or she can just do the thing that she was called to do. You have two choices. You're going to make an excuse or you're going to do the thing that God's called you to do. There is not an in-between. She said, if I perish, I perish. Can you say that about your purpose? A couple years ago, Keisha, I was going, God, are you sure you want me doing this? God, I'm rough as they come. I was with my dad the other day, and he goes, he was talking about somebody, and he said, not any of y'all. He said, Kelly, that person is shrewder than you are. I said, well, my God, I didn't realize I was shrewd, but okay. Look here. God's got a destiny for you. There's been many days where I thought I could not do what God's called me to do. I just said, Lord, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not convinced every day I can do it, but God, if I die doing it, it was all for your glory. See, quit telling God every reason why you can't. Because the truth of the matter is you can. You can. You can. You can do it. When you get up and the odds are all stacked against you, you can still do it. God will just move the odds all out of the way. You can do it. Let's go to Psalm 57. We're going to look at verse 2. We're talking about purpose this morning. God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. One of the things that I realize the most, and when I talk and I counsel with people, here's a common thread. I'll say, well, what is God telling you? What is God showing you? What do you feel God wants you to do? And most of the time people have no idea. I don't know what God's telling me to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Look here. My sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. If you're someone in here today, you say, I don't know what my purpose is. We're going to pray about that. And I'm going to believe that God's going to make it to where you can see what it is, because you have one. You have a purpose. You have a calling. So Psalm 57 and verse 2 says, I cry out to God, Most High, to God, who fulfills, everybody say fulfills, his purpose for me. The thing about purpose is this right here. You have a purpose, and it's not up to just you to fulfill it. So there's unrealistic pressure that we as humans and overthinkers put on ourselves. And we say, God, how am I going to make this happen? It's very simple. You are not. He is. So when the word says, I cry out to God Most High, to God, who fulfills his purpose for me. God's helping you every single step of the way. God may tell you something and you think, that's too big for me, God, I can't do that. There was somebody in my life that I love very dearly. And she gave me some of the best advice. And she said, Kelly, do you know how to eat an elephant? Well, I've eaten a lot of things in my life, and little Debbie's, all that stuff, but I've never eaten an elephant. She goes, you just eat it one scoop at a time. Don't take your whole purpose and try to chomp it down your throat in one day. Look here. God will bring it about. God will bring it about. He will bring it out in such a way that you just glide right up into it. You'll unfold things. There's things about your purpose and your destiny. You're sitting there thinking, now, God, how will that happen? Look here, in the right time, he'll just unfold it out there. God needs people that'll just go with him.
Right.
Go with him. Be obedient. You know, Noah built that ark for a very long time before there was ever even an inkling there was a problem. What is God telling you to do? Are you doing it? Do you know what it is? Psalms 138 and verse 3. And it says, when I called, you answered me, and you greatly emboldened me. In my translation, it says, Oh Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, God, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Look here. Let's just get real today. God hemmed you in on every side. That means the presence of God himself surrounds you. Step into purpose. Step into destiny. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be intimidated. Know that God will do exactly what he said he would do.
Yeah.
Exactly. When we want to overthink, don't overthink it. When we want to question, don't question it. Go with God. Go with God. You have a purpose. What I did not tell you, Keisha, I spent a lot of years feeling like, God, I don't know if you can do anything with me. I've really done some things. God, I'm a hothead. I don't think you want to put me over a bunch of people to be a good example. But I flop up in front of them and show them everything they don't want to do. Look here. God will give you grace for your purpose. God will give you grace for it. He'll equip you for it. He has a plan. You have not done anything. Everything that has happened in your life up to this moment, you are sitting today in your seat today. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 11. And if there was ever scripture that I would say, read this, digest this, process this, put it in your heart. See, the word says, God, your word have I hid in my heart. Verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. God's got a plan. I've taught on this for a couple weeks now. God has a plan. He has a plan. When it looks like everything is going wrong, many times it's just falling into place. And it happens in a way that we did not expect. In that moment, that's when many people get mad at God, when it happens like we did not expect. Trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him when you don't understand. Trust Him when you want to get mad at Him. I know what it's like to be mad at God. I've been there. When I was about 19 years old, I got a bright red, cherry red Chevy Trailblazer, and I still to this day, I think, why on earth did I get that? I had no children. Why did I feel the need to get a big old rig like that? It made no sense. And the worst thing is, like, the first day, I backed up into somebody. Tells you the driving skills have not always been a real PowerPoint in my life.
I can relate.
The Papa used to go to the bottom and drive there. Worst thing I could hit was a corn stalk. And I rolled up into this church when I was 19. And I remember taking the turn to pull in the parking lot. And I had just been through a gut-wrenching, heartbreaking ordeal. And I thought, I did not want to be at church. I am so mad at God for letting my heart get broken. I am so mad at God for letting this happen to me. Why did He let this happen to me? What I can tell you in that moment for my situation is I did that. I got myself into the situation I should not have been in. You want to walk in your purpose? Look at yourself and say, Daddy God, come up in here and examine this heart with me. God, show me everything in this heart, God, that's offensive to you. God, show me everything in my life, God, that should not be there. Lord, examine me. God, search this heart. God, point out anything in here that doesn't line up with the word. Because let me tell you something, the devil will break your heart over and over and over. The only thing that God ever does is He's the one that mends it over and over and over. I hate when I see some people get mad at God because it makes me realize, boy, the devil's really gotten one over on them. Daddy God's only ever been good to us. So, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. plans to give you hope and a future. If you could walk out of here today, what I want you to realize is that you have hope. There's hope for you. Many people feel hopeless. Hopelessness leads to loneliness. Because when you don't have hope, you're going to just be around yourself. You don't want to go out with nobody. You don't want to be around anybody. You don't want to go anywhere. There's people, they're stuck in their homes because the devil has talked them into isolation. I know people like that. And it's devastating because look here, God still has an abundant life for his children. He's still on the throne. He's still working things out. He's still causing miracles to happen. And so he says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. So many people, they skip this step. They say, well, God sees that I'm having a hard time. Why hasn't he done anything? Well, why haven't you done anything?
Amen.
What do you got to do? Now, if I got a problem with something, I got to go to the source. I'm going to be like, look, I got a problem. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. How many Christians out there have no prayer life? A lot of people, they come, we don't come to church on Sunday. But Monday, there's somebody else. God has a purpose. Something you were born, made to do. Nobody can do it better than you. There's people God wants to bring into your life to use you to help them. And it says, you will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, one of the traps in this day and age that we live in today is it's hard to do anything with your whole heart. You feel me? It's hard for me to do something with my whole heart. Why? Because I've got about 50,000 things tugging at me at one time. Amen? I was praying the other day. God is my witness. Here I am praying. My stomach starts growling. And I'm already like a squirrel. I go, ooh, I'm hungry. What am I going to eat? Then I go, ooh, I need to go to the grocery store. And I lost about 30 minutes. And I said, Lord, I started that prayer 30 minutes ago. Somehow I got off. And I got on the grocery store and the food. And then somehow I got on my kids and the teachers better be treating him right today. And then God, I got up on this other thing. And Lord, I forgot to even finish that prayer. Anybody have that problem? I'll be sitting here in church when Daddy's preaching. Terrible, because I can't do it when I'm preaching. I can't when Jerry's preaching too. I used to do it a long time before I became pastor, but I'd be sitting there and I'd be trying to raise my hands and praise Jesus, and I'd be thinking, oh, I can't stand Sally's sitting. God, I just don't like her. Well, I know I'm trying to praise you right now, Jesus, but I don't like her one bit. And did you see her snide little smirk on her face, Jesus? Oh, wait a minute, Jesus, I was trying to praise you. Hold on. Oh, the praise and worship service is over. Daddy, get up there preaching. I'm trying to read the word. There's a fiery dart. It just hit me. I still can't stand her.
Glory to God.
That co-worker got on my last nerve. The very last one. I had one. They got on it. They're going to get it tomorrow. See, it's so hard to give God the whole heart. But it's a must. It's a necessary. You know what I do? I come to that place and I just get on my knees and I say, God, help me. Help me. Friday night, God's been ministering to me about purpose all week. And I like to carve out time to spend with my husband when it's just me and Jeremy. Because I realize that him and I, we are both torn in so many ways. And Jeremy is just amazing. It's an amazing.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't ever want him to feel like I don't appreciate him. Well, I got my little chubby self. I said, sweet heart. I know you on your way back from Fayetteville, but we're going to go eat at Roma's. I'm sitting there, and I'm eating, and I'm just gazing at him, and, you know, we kind of twist-fatted a little bit. That's me. I'll try to do something sweet, and then I'll pick a fight with him. Because I'm just twisting. He's trying to eat that dinner, and all of a sudden, here goes the cop car. Friday night, Ozark. Bam. Cop car. And I thought, oh, look. Whatever is wrong, Lord, don't let me get caught up in it. Had enough problems today. You ever say that to God? You see somebody even really needing something or something's going wrong with somebody, you go, oh, God. Lord, I'm no longer able to hold anymore today. Sometimes I tell Jeremy, look, I'm going to go get my last pants on. I'm going to get some blanket. And I'm just going to, can't take any more today, Jeremy. Get up there and try to cross that bridge. You've got to be talking to me about purpose. Always. And I got such a heaviness. I thought, somebody's in trouble. God, somebody's in trouble. Little guy came around. He had his little vest on. And he said, ma'am, just doing the best that we can do. I said, is it bad? I said, it's bad. I'm a prior. I said, how bad is it? He said, give me some details. I want to know. I said, ma'am, I keep saying it's really, really bad. And I sat there forever. Finally, y'all know I'm the most impatient person in the world. I thought, I'm gonna go through Clarksville and I'm gonna go home. And I was just thinking, I don't like when I'm held up. Now, can you tell your dirty stuff? Because see, I can. Here's somebody needing help. Here's me having a bad attitude over being held up. Okay? Now, see, own your stuff. Own your stuff. Why? What happens when we own it? God will fix it. He'll change it. So I'm driving, and I instantly had regret. I said, God, I don't know what I was thinking. I should have asked them if there was anything that I could do to help them. I'm a pastor. I don't know what's going on, but I should have offered to help. And I had regret. And I was sitting there dealing and trying to process that regret. And the Lord said, Kelly, stop living in regret. Be in your purpose. I need you to pray. I need you to pray. I need you to pray. Kelly, I need you to pray for that person that they'll live and that they'll not die. I need you to pray that my presence is on that person. I need you to pray that my presence is on every single person trying to help that person. See, you can live your life in regret. You can live your life in the mistake that you can never undo. You can live your life in the words that you can never unsay. But live in his purpose? Can you just live in your calling, in your destiny? I said, God, forgive me. God, and help me right now. And I just began to pray in the spirit. I just began to pray, and I prayed. Look here. It took me about an hour and a half to get home. I prayed the whole time. See, God will put you someplace, and he'll cause you to be there, and he'll speak. That spirit of heaviness will come on. That's called intercession. God needs people to press in. He needs you to say, now God, go to that. Angels of the Most High God visit them right now. God, put a peace there. Lord, something's gone wrong. I got on Facebook and I said, look people, time to pray. Somebody had climbed up on that bridge. You don't think this life and this devil that we're living in will try to tear you a new one? Yes, he will. Somebody said, Pastor Kelly, they climbed on the bridge. I said, devil, that person has a purpose. So in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you save that person. Lord, bring them to salvation today. God, whatever made them feel desperate, God, I thank you right now that that desperation, Lord, you're taking that, God, and you're replacing it with some hope. So many times we feel like I missed it. That's how I felt. I felt like I missed it. God, I should have said this. I should have done that. I should have did. I should have that. You can live your life in that. Live your life in your purpose. When you feel like you messed something up, say, God, give me grace because I feel like I messed that up. James chapter 1, verse 5. What I've learned about God is this right here. You have not because you ask not. There's times where I needed a certain skill set that I did not have. And I said, Daddy, God, I need more skill. I'm unskilled in this area to help your people. God will give you whatever you have the guts to ask for. And it says here in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. See, God's not looking at your life trying to find fault with everything you've ever done. God is looking at your life and he's saying, that's the one that I created that purpose for. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If you found yourself, see, God wanted to speak about purpose today. If you're in here and you say, Pastor Kelly, I don't know what my purpose is. My waters have gotten so muddied up. I don't even know. I want you to sing. There's another set. And you say, Pastor Kelly, there's things, and I see myself doing them. I know that's the thing I should do, but when it comes to carrying it out, there's a hindrance there, and I can't seem to carry that out. And I want to be in my purpose, but I'm having trouble stepping into that purpose. We're going to pray. Because look here. Where there's a will, there's a way. What God wants, he wants people to say, Daddy God, I want to be in my purpose. Daddy God, yes, I'll do that. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place today, God, I thank you right now, God, these are all your children. God, I thank you for the calling that's on their lives. God, the calling, Lord, that you've created for them. God, their purpose. you right now that they are able to walk in their purpose, that they're able to walk in that calling. God, if any of you lack wisdom, have them ask. If you're lacking that wisdom right now, I'm going to ask you to ask Daddy God. See, I can't ask you for you. It's you. It's your life. I'm going to ask you to ask you. God, I thank you right now. Lord, you've helped us. God, people leave here changed right now. Lord, I thank you, God, you're showing them. And you're giving us the courage to be in that purpose. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory right now. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got so much stuff back there. I hope you all get a bunch of boxes. Remember to go with this store right here. Thank you.